It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Professionally speaking, might be one of the best Mondays ever in my career because we've dealt Marty on Free Agent Frenzy and Shayna Goldman is on for the bulk of the show. So thank you, Shayna, for that. It's a great way to start the week. Sun is shining in Buffalo, moderate temperatures with less humidity. We're all in favor of that. However, a lot of teams are cooking and throwing money into the fire. And the latest appears to be Vancouver, according to a good friend and mentor of mine, John Shannon. Jake DeBrusk, 7 years, $5.5 million per with Vancouver. I guess we know where Lindholm's money went.
Yeah, that is an interesting one. I mean, I really thought DeBrusk was going to stay east. I was so curious if he was going to go to Toronto, which would have been so fitting for the storylines. I know it always affects Leafs, but I kind of like this for them. I think Jake DeBrusk is a good player. I think the important thing is going to be keeping him on the left side because I know teams have tried to see what he can do on the right, and he just is a much better fit on the left. Does he have some defensive flaws? Sure. But I think he's really coming to his own. And I think Jim Montgomery did a really good job with him the last couple of years, rounding out his game and making him a more effective forward. And I feel like Rick Tocchet is going to be able to challenge that. Like I really like the idea of like that coach with that player, which sometimes like I don't care about and I think is overhyped. But with DeBrusk, I'm really intrigued because we saw the impact of a coaching change on his game once that I'm like, okay, now what's he going to do? Like, let him cook. I like this a lot because I feel like Vancouver needs one more top six winger. And you saw guys like Suter jumping up and they worked and they were that defensive balance. But they also have guys like DiGiuseppe in their top six at some point. Like if you want to be a bona fide contender and you have something going, like DeBrusk with Pettersson could be interesting. It probably would be an upgrade over Mikheyev.
Right. And they were able to get out from under that deal. Obviously, they re-signed Tyler Myers, but and not to spend too much time on Vancouver here, obviously, with the Sabres being the prominent focus here on Sabres Live. But it was curious to me when they did the Myers deal. Obviously, they knew, presumably at that time, that they weren't going to be able to retain Zadorov. But in hindsight, wouldn't they have been best to put the Myers money into making sure they could keep Zadorov?
Maybe. I mean, here's the thing. I think once they paid Filip Ronek as much as they did, they knew they couldn't spend as much on Zadorov. And It makes sense in some ways. But it's been like such a roller coaster with them because on the one hand, you're going, they're going to lose everyone. And on the other hand, they're like, oh, they're going to keep everyone. So it's been like really back and forth. And they landed somewhere in the middle, which is totally fine. I think it's okay that they go for a cheaper option keeping Myers. Is it my favorite deal? No. Do I think that you can manage it? Yes.
As far as the Sabres are concerned, off the top, a couple of reported signings on this free agent day. Sam Lafferty, speaking of Vancouver, where he had a good season last year, no question about that, in a fourth line role. Predominantly Lafferty at 2 years and a couple million per. And Jason Zucker reportedly coming into Buffalo on a 1 year deal worth $5 million per. Now, this, you know, might come in a touch higher dollar-wise, Shayna, than what some of the projections would indicate. But it also ties in directly, basically, with the buyout of Jeff Skinner and how, in the short term, the Sabres don't have a big hit at all this year. But they will have a cap hit on Skinner of much greater number in the next 2 years. So the Zucker 1 year bridge, if you will, makes sense in this regard. And obviously, they still have significant room to acquire somebody via trade, which we talked about in the last segment. Have you thought a little more here on other potential trade targets. Like, to me, you know, Nashville was fascinating to me with all their signings and the fact they were, you know, they obviously had a ton of room despite dead cap space this year. The Flyers have had a lot of dead cap as well. They bought out players like Cam Atkinson. Do you wonder still what they're up to and whether a player like Travis Konecny would eventually be in play, or whether you expect a locking up of Konecny here at some point very soon?
I feel like they're going to keep him, and I kind of think that's for the best. It's tough because on the one hand, I'm like, are you ready for that? But I think the way that they kind of advance better than they expected and they've developed so well, like, they're really balancing that long-term plan. And we saw that by how they moved out a couple of players at the deadline when they could have just stuck with it, that I feel like at this point, they're probably going to keep him. And I don't hate that for them, honestly. Why not? He's your best player. That's hard to replace. I think if there's other movable players, like, I would be moving a Scott Laughton before I move a Travis Konecny, because he's going to be that much harder to replace.
Mm-hmm. Laughton, of course, I mentioned a variety of times, especially closer to last year's deadline, but I would say early in this offseason as a potential fit for the Sabres. Refresh my memory as to how you thought about that and how that would or wouldn't have changed based on the reported signings today by Buffalo of Lafferty and Zucker.
I don't think it should change much, right? Like, you know, these are, they're not going for these huge deals. They're not going for these really long-term deals that we have to, like, start looking at the long-term plan and looking at everything's going to count and projecting cap outwards. I think that the signings today I look at and I'm like, those are pretty good placeholders. Placeholders for better options on the free agent market, placeholders for internal options to grow. That I think that that's kind of what you need. I think teams fall into this trap sometimes where they feel like they need something huge to get things going. And this is a trap that maybe a team like Nashville falls into. And I'm not saying I dislike what they're doing, but sometimes we see teams like overdo it in the free agency market to make up for what they don't have. And they give players way too much term, because when they get to free agency is not the time you want to give these players huge deals. They're 28, 29, 30, 31, like 34, some of them, that you have to keep that in mind. Like, are they in the right phase of their career to be getting that money? Or do you have to overpay to bring them to you because there's a million suitors out for them at the same time? So I think that's kind of where my head goes with that.
Shannon Goldman from The Athletic with us today here on Sabres Live. A quick thought on the Devils and what they've done with the most recent ad, according to NHL Network, being Brendan Dillon, most recently with Winnipeg. This on the heels of bringing in Brett Pesce from New Jersey, and you would suspect a healthy Dougie Hamilton at some point. How much better are the Devils after they also, not too long ago, added Jacob Markstrom in the crease?
Markstrom's the key to all of this, because Marino for Pesce, I think maybe you could say it's a slight upgrade, maybe a little bit more certainty of what Pesce brings to the lineup. I think that's totally fair. With me, my issue with Pesce is the durability. Like, that's my one red flag, but I get it. Like, Marino bounced back in a huge way after he plateaued with Pittsburgh, but last year just wasn't good. Some of it might've been coaching, the defense around him. He didn't have Ryan Graves, who was his mainstay the year before. And you look at the rest of the defense kind of collapsing around him. I think they have a lot more certainty now. You have Hamilton, Pesce, and then Nemich. That's a good thing to have. And if you feel that, you know, in a couple of years, you can start like moving around the depth chart, that works out well. I still look at them and I think that they need one more difference-making forward up front. Like, I think Marchessault would have been a dream for them. Even at the contract that Nashville signed him at, I think they could have pushed for a little more. You know, I know they're looking for one right shot forward, which makes a lot of sense, because you look at their whole top six, no matter how you can figure out Palat or Timo Meier in it, Dawson Mercer's it. That's their only right-handed shooter. And I know that they have these right-handed shooters from the blue line. So you look at power play one, it's going to be Hamilton's shot, and that's great to have. But I think if you have a little bit more versatility with a right-handed shooter, like, you see certain plays with playmakers, like how you receive a pass, how you shoot the puck, it helps to have that. So I'm still looking for that one difference maker to take their forward group to the next level. And then I think, like, they're in a prime position to bounce back. I think they kind of would have been no matter what, because it was just bad luck and some mistakes that dragged them down this year.
They definitely have protected Luke Hughes nicely on the blue line, though, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's... And, you know, he had the trial by fire last year. He should have never been in that role, but it's not his fault that Dougie Hamilton got hurt. It's no one's fault.
Right, right. So with all that being said, it's a lot of movement within the Eastern Conference. Carolina, what do you make of them based on, you know, we mentioned Will Carrier, albeit it was just quickly before the break, 6 years at $2 million per. But this is a club that was unable to retain Guentzel. They've lost Shea and Pesci off the blue line. Yes, they did the max term with Jacob Slavin to keep him. How do you feel about the Carolina Hurricanes at this point in time?
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would like to see more. Listen, I like that they can kind of keep swapping out their depth a bit. I think that they're a team that's shown that they can do that up front. So someone like Carrier coming in, like, they should be able to just keep pushing along. But I would still want one difference making forward up front and one bona fide goal scorer. So I wonder if that happens maybe via nature trade and like, hey, maybe something changes that they say we don't need to move on from him. But I just can't help but think that's like for the best right now. And I think someone like Chatfield can step up, but I still think losing two defensemen from your second pair is a tough blow. It's going to be really interesting to see how much the system can take over because we've talked about it for years. Look at how many players they can interchange and how good they can still be. Does that change when you lose Pesci and Shea in one shot? Do you have an answer for that so you can keep going along with business as usual?
It's a great question. It sounds like Darren Dreger has posted on the Red Wings and their goaltending and that they've added Cam Talbot for a couple of years. So at 2.5, unless I'm wrong on that.
No, I see it too.
So that is an interesting development for a team that already has a couple of goaltenders under contract. So maybe there's more to come there. Why do you think Pat Kane ended up on a one-year deal with Detroit?
I would not commit term to Pat Kane if I were at the Red Wings. I would keep everything to short term. It's interesting because it all depends on like how they proceed with Raymond and Seider, right? If they spend a lot right now, then maybe they go bridge deal for those two players. And then when his cap hit comes off the books, you can deal with it. I think that they can have a little more certainty that he's going to be able to repeat what he did last year and build on it because now he's going to have a true offseason of being healthy to get back into like tip top shape. And I thought he was a really good fit there last year. But I wouldn't want to overcommit because you don't know what they're going to need in a year. You know, I think they have to be really careful with the older players because everything's just weird right now with the Red Wings. And you look at the Wallman deal and how they're moving out salary. You go, they must have something in mind. So I think a short-term commitment makes the most sense because for all we know, he could just keep signing one-year deals. Like, why not?
Other than the fact that as any player would want, the term would have been what he was seeking with closer to the max number that he could actually make this year, which is $6.5 million, with it being bonus driven on a $4 million base. It is, we're getting close to the end of our number one of free agency. And at this point in time, who in the East has made the biggest improvement in your opinion?
You know what? I'm going to go. It might not sound like an improvement, but I'm going to go with the Florida Panthers. I think they were very smart on who they kept, who they didn't keep, the prices they kept them at. That I like that. I think sometimes winning raises the bar and raises money way too high. And I think they've been very smart and very careful about it. I like letting Montour walk and opting to keep Reinhardt on a contract that's still going to be good, even if he doesn't repeat this year. And only keeping one of Kulikov or Ekman-Larsson, I think, was a good move, too.
You also know that today is the only day that could have prevented me from leading into your segment without talking about Aaron Ekblad, right? Because free agent frenzy is the dominant theme of the day. But Aaron
Ekblad. Oh my God, he was a vibe yesterday.
Aaron Ekblad won the parade, right? And remember, I don't know if we're on delay, Shayna, so let's keep it. Keep it paraphrased if we can, as far as his day with the cone and the cup.
I loved it. I, you know what? I think it was so great. The vibes, the energy, even the mean girls, like, you know, there's 100% chance it's already raining. Like, he captured exactly the energy we needed. And I really love that we're seeing more cup celebrations. I think the Capitals set the bar really high. And I like that in years to follow, we're seeing the players have the best time and the Panthers look like they're having a great time. And I like the team leaning into it, like, oh, there's no fans here. And you see this like overcrowded beach. I love it.
Yeah, it actually was quite a scene, despite the... So chalk up another one for hockey players in adversity, right? They managed to navigate the cup through, you know, less than ideal weather. But in all seriousness, when it comes to Ekblad, especially now that Montour has moved on a 7x7+ with Seattle, there had been a little rumbling that Ekblad was on the market. Do you suspect that the rest of their defense corps, by the way, Dmitry Kulikov, 4 years today, at just over $1 million per, so clearly he loves South Florida. Do you expect the rest of that defense corps to remain intact now that Montour has moved on?
I don't really see them overhauling it that much now. Like, I feel like losing Montour and Ekblad would be terrible. But if you look at what Ekblad's next contract could be, it's interesting because his last deal was front-loaded. So you could give him a big raise and front-load it again and let the AAV balance out just like this last one did. Then maybe you can keep him in that $7.5 million range. And it doesn't, I know everyone looks at cap hit to cap hit, but you know, with his contract, the way it was structured, we should be looking year to year to see it, because it could be a nice raise and increase year to year, you know, that it was from, it'll be next season to the year after when he signs that next contract.
Absolutely. Shayna, thank you so much for today. Greatly appreciate it. We'll look forward to all your work on The Athletic as always.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman, and we'll dive back into the Sabres on Free Agent Frenzy when we come back right after this WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.